Yeah, she was ashen. Breaking the silence.
Ashy?
Ashen.
Oh, okay. Like she was ashy. It got dry in the room.
Handed her moisturizer.
Yes. Girl, put this cocoa butter on your legs. You look a mess. You better grease up.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So I have some hashtag penis news.
Oh my gosh.
You know this was coming. And I have a lot of it too.
Penis news? This is Jaquetta's segment.
This is a segment where I bring in news about the member on the move, scrotum stories, dick updates, right. And I had a dick of a week. So there's going to be a lot of penis news.
All right.
A lot
of penis news. Lay it on us.
And I am going to...
Lay that pipe on us.
Right? Slap it right in your face. Oh. Penis news. Penis poll vote deemed valid. So apparently, this took place in... Where did this take place? Hold on. Penis news has gone flaccid. All right. In Belfast. Apparently, a guy was voting. And instead of putting an X or just filling in the square, he very carefully drew a tiny penis. To mark his vote.
I'm going to do that now.
And the vote was counted.
Yeah.
The vote was counted as a vote. It says, Glenn Davies easily held on to the Montgomeryshire constituency in mid-Wales, sorry, it's in Wales, after being chosen by 45% of the voters, one of whom drew a penis. After the 71-year-old said victory was made all the more sweeter after saying his rivals had thrown everything at him. Mm-hmm. So he had a really difficult campaign. He wrote on his Facebook page that one voter decided to draw a detailed representation of a penis instead of a cross in my box.
A representation.
Box. Yes. Instead of the penis itself, of a cross in my box. Amazingly, because it was neatly drawn, and within the confines of the box, the officer said it was valid.
And it wasn't an actual penis?
No. It was a representation.
Yes.
I'm not sure the artist meant it to count, but I'm grateful. If I knew who it was, I'd like to thank him or her personally.
Well, that's where a penis does belong. In a box.
In a box. In an election. Because there's plenty of dicks in politics. I just thought this was so interesting. That's where people are with voting nowadays. You know what I mean? They're so angry. They're just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm drawing a penis.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
I'm so upset.
I think that,
with the parliamentary process.
The drawing of a penis is now going to be the mark of...
dissatisfaction.
Yeah.
Sorry, men's rights advocates.
Yeah.
That's what it means.
We want change.
Yeah, we want change.
Yeah.
We want hope and change.
Yeah.
That's going to be the next poster. So that's... I'll be coming up with some more penis news throughout this episode.
Oh, my God. You're going to pepper us with
penises. Yes, I'm going to put a few in here and there. So what do you have?
I have a Tales from the Campfire.
Excellent. So Tales from the Campfire is a segment that we do where we find news on the internet of the tales of the paranormal, folklore, fake lore, ghost stories, and we tell them here.
Myth, legend.
All that.
Yeah. Okay, so gather around, listeners.
Yeah.
Gather around this campfire.
Yes. Bring everything you have with you, if you know what I'm saying.
And sit it down.
Yes.
Because
flop it down. Get comfortable.
Okay. All right.
Shift it around if you need to. If you dress left and you're not comfortable, now is the time to dress right.
Boy, stop poking your neighbor.
Yes.
Pay attention.
Pay attention.
Right. This happened 5 days ago. Well, I was in my colleague's house in Malaysia.
Fresh news.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was in Malaysia for my project and decided to stay at Zadie's house on the night before our submission of the project report.
Okay.
All right. Her husband had gone to the other city for work, and her sister was babysitting Zadie's 11-month-old son.
Okay, you're trying to say nobody else was there but you and Zadie. Okay.
Her house was a regular 2-bedroom apartment on the 6th floor.
Regular.
It was around 2,300 hours.
Okay. All right.
When we finished our dinner and sat around the coffee table with our laptops typing the report, we were talking to...
Any moment now something creepy is going to happen.
We were talking to each other, discussing and sharing our information with each other.
As one does. Okay.
We kept hearing soft sobs all through our discussion, but that... But didn't
that didn't stop us? So what are these people?
Heartless.
Yes, they're heartless. Yes. Like office workers.
We've got a report.
Yeah. I don't care if someone's whimpering.
Right. Zadie went to the kitchen counter and asked me if I wanted to have something to drink.
Okay. I thought she said Zadie went and knocked on the wall and was like, shut it.
I replied yes, and she asked me what I wanted to have.
Okay.
God.
Wow.
And then just after I finished saying,
I said I wanted to have a Coke. And she was like, you know, do you want Diet Coke or regular Coke? And then I thought about it.
And then I was like, maybe it's better to have a fruit juice.
Yeah.
And then I thought, wait, that's too much fructose.
And the sobbing kept, and we just talked over it.
Right. And then the walls started bleeding.
We were like, I had my report to do.
Yeah.
I'm on, like, I have 8 PowerPoint slides to finish.
Then I decided on a club soda. Okay. Just after I finished saying what my options...
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Okay.
We heard from the baby monitor, which was kept in the kitchen platform. Please stop it.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a standard radio baby monitor, one of which was kept in Zadie's son Eli's room.
Okay.
Okay.
The baby's not there, though, right? Okay.
But the monitor's...
The monitor's still on for some reason.
And it was in Zadie's son Eli's room, and the other one, which we had heard the words from. Mm-hmm. There was no way that we could hear those 3 words in a kid's shaking voice speaking over a radio monitor. That sent shivers down both our spines. Because he's 11 months old.
Okay. Yes, he's too young to talk.
To say, please stop it.
Yeah.
This was not the first time I was hearing voices, but it was my first time when it came out of an instrument clear as ever. Okay. My reaction was, whoa, what is that? And Zadie said, no one.
Don't worry about it. Back to work.
Right.
Heads down. That's how we get promoted. We don't get promoted by rocking the boat.
Yeah. She went to the bedroom, got the monitor, shut the door, and came and sat beside me.
I would be out of there so fast. That's weird.
Yeah, she was ashen. Breaking the silence.
Ashy?
Ashen.
Oh, okay. Like she was ashy. It got dry in the room.
I handed her moisturizer.
Yes. Girl, put this cocoa butter on your legs. You look a mess. You better grease up so we can finish this presentation.
She was ashy. Ashen. Breaking the silence which followed that, she said that she isn't crazy, but she suspected there was a child's ghost in the house.
Okay, when someone starts about it, like, I'm not crazy, but.
She had seen the apparition of a six or 7-year-old boy running from one bedroom to another many times.
So she wasn't going to say anything. She's having people over at her house at like around 2300 hours. Close to the witching hour.
Right.
You know, a military time.
Right, yeah. It's, approaching the witching hour.
And then you hear, there's sobbing going on. You're hearing it, everybody else is hearing it, but you're pretending like nothing's happening. And then, when it gets to be too much, you're like, look.
Yeah.
This shit's haunted.
Right, and getting all ashen.
Yeah.
Ashen. In front of others.
Dear. All of a sudden.
The next day I woke up.
She was dewy and moist before. You know? And then poof.
Next day, I woke up around 5 a.m. I just cannot sleep in another person's house. And
we didn't hear, how did she get home? Like, what? Like, where's all of that?
Okay. Maybe it's my insomnia. I decided to do yoga.
Okay.
All right, fine. After that, I went for a bath in the master bedroom's bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I dressed and I was
Yeah, that's what happens.
Putting on makeup. And while I was doing that,
Was hosiery involved?
Yeah, I didn't know. Well, I put my one leg at a time into the hosiery and then pulled it up over my torso.
Yeah. Over your torso. Oh, God. I haven't worn pantyhose in so long. Like, actual pantyhose.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, so I put on my pantyhose. Oh, no, she didn't. Okay.
Okay.
While I was doing that, I heard a low voice. It seemed to be coming from the corner of the back side of the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
You know you're dead.
What?
Yeah. And 2 seconds after...
I'd be like, I know no such thing. Have a good day. I'm good to continue with my pantyhose.
And 2 seconds after... Why? I didn't turn. It was a rough and husky voice.
Ashy. It was a rough and husky voice.
After I just did 2 voices.
I know.
And then it's rough and husky.
Well.
Oh, well. Unlike the...
A cold read is tough.
Yeah.
You know?
Unlike the voice which we heard the day before, the voice was so mean and angry. See, I did it in a nice way.
Yeah.
That even though I didn't have the courage to look, but I now knew I had to move out of this room.
Oh, yeah.
Next, I heard a cling. I'm not even sure if it was the spirit.
What was that? Cling.
I heard a cling. It says cling in quotes, so I'm just doing it with it. Like, and I'm making a choice.
You did a good job. I just don't know what that sound represents.
I don't know either.
It's poorly written.
I don't know. Cling? This is a cold reading. This is like, I see it, and I do it.
Let's just monitor ourselves for the rest of the evening and wait to see if we hear anything go cling.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it was the spirit or some normal sound, but I was scared enough to even think, which made me squeak.
Was that the cling noise? Is there a noise
I
for
wanted,
that?
I wanted to scream, though, and it got me to sprint out of the room. So she, instead of screaming, she squeaked.
And bust out the room.
Yeah.
Pantyhose and all.
Cling.
So bizarre. All right.
All right. I've experienced paranormal before, but these 3 seconds were the most frightening. I don't know if it's a threat or a message. Afterwards.
Wow. Yeah.
Afterwards, I thought to myself, if the world we live in is dead, what if we're all dead?
Yeah. What, I mean, you still have to pay taxes and go to work. Does it matter? You know what I'm saying? If we're all dead right now, we still have to finish this podcast.
Yeah. Is that why the child spirit was asking us to stop speaking? I know it sounds stupid when I read it after writing it. There was a Nicole Kidman horror movie.
Oh, the others.
Which I watched a long time ago, which made me think of the stupid plot, and it made me think that this was a possibility.
First of all, it was not a stupid plot. I thought that was actually a decent movie. It turns out that they're dead. However,
and they're hearing the living.
And
they think that they're actually alive and that the other people are dead, yeah.
But I mean, you know what? Does it matter? Run with it.
Yeah.
It still seems like Nicole Kidman's character had to get up every day, put on that wig, put on that outfit, and do what she had to do and take care of her kids.
Right.
I might have I might have relaxed a little bit, though, on the children's education once I found out we were all dead.
Yeah.
You know, because there's not a lot of job opportunities in the afterlife, from what I know. Just being practical.
Nevertheless, I'm never going back to that apartment, and I have asked Zadie to get the house blessed or better leave it.
It's weird to me that this is we've talked about this before. Like, if you think that there is something paranormal in your apartment, whether or not I believe in the paranormal activity, and I find out you haven't told me, I'm not gonna be happy with you.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Because there's something going on either with you or the apartment or whatever, and I'd like to know about that.
Right, and don't say come on over.
Yeah, but if I'm at your apartment, you know, we're hanging out, whatever, I hear sobbing, you're like, don't worry about it. I'm gonna be like, really?
And I'm turning white.
Are you ashy all of a sudden? I'm gonna be like, what's going on?
Why are you so ashy?
Yeah, go get some lotion. So I found this thing here, how to be a great leader before you are even in charge. So it says why the key to being a great leader isn't about taking charge, it's about following.
Wait.
Just come with me on this.
All right.
And this is written by a self-described millennial, and it made me feel so bad. You know, every generation has some ideas thrust upon them. Mm-hmm. This is their idea, that everyone has to be a leader. That's what they're telling them all the time. And I see that. We see that in the media, we see it in
be a leader,
society.
Or what is,
always be a leader.
Or the college applications. Yeah. Are you a leader or are you a follower?
There is such huge pressure in our generation to be a leader, but the truth of it is most of us don't have what it takes. It seems like many of us, myself included, don't want to be a leader unless we are the leader. Mm. So it says here that you should be what's called a lead follower. The current culture among leaders, quote unquote, of millennials creates a problem because it implies that no one wants to follow. Yeah, that's a problem. If you're telling everybody in the cohort or the graduating class that they need to be leaders, you need followers to be a leader.
Yeah, right.
Otherwise, you're just standing around by yourself looking dumb.
So you really need a follower, but to make them feel better, you say you're a lead follower.
Well, no, this guy's saying if you want to be a leader, you first become a lead follower. So it says, he gives an example.
Isn't that just a follower?
No, it's not. Some time ago, I was placed in an environment as a team member. This is so terrible. All of this, corporate speak, and these are, young people. A team leader, one of my best friends was chosen as a leader. He was ready to lead. I wasn't. So the guy is very frustrated, but he realizes he's not ready to lead. So then he decides he wants to learn how to become a leader by becoming a lead follower.
Yeah.
That's the not yet leader. we have other terms for lead follower.
In training.
Yeah, it's called a simp. You could call it a henchman.
Yeah.
Right. You could also call it a lackey.
Yeah.
So it says the role of the lead follower is the best way to practice to be the leader until you get your shot, right? Every great leader has to have at least one untitled leader among the followers, someone who will be there at all costs. You know who this person is, right?
Yeah.
So to practice the invaluable skill of lead following, this is a skill now, this poor guy, he said, be the first one on board. So it's that guy.
Yes.
Who's, yes, the yes man.
Yeah, the yes man.
When the leader's like, let's do this, and everyone's like, no, let's not do that. And one guy runs from like, yes, let's do what Tom said.
Yeah, right. And they're laughing at the jokes.
Yeah. And it
of
says
the leader,
here.
And they're not, he hasn't even gotten to the punchline yet.
Nope. And the guy's like, yes, we should, yes, you know. This doesn't mean you unquestionably accept everything that they say, but it means you don't talk behind their back or act like you always know better. If you don't do that, you will never advance from lead follower to leader.
That's
you
right.
have got to get rid of that leader. That guy is in your way.
Put him in the crosshairs.
Yeah.
Metaphorically, not literally.
Yeah, he's your frenemy. It says here, be positive. Don't just point out problems. Well, I mean, you got to point out problems with the leader. Otherwise, he'll be the leader forever. It says here, make the leader look good. Emphasis on good, myself.
Yeah, that was nice.
And then it says, honor.
Nice choice.
Honor the leader.
Honor him.
I don't know how. That sounds like an ancient Greek thing.
It does. It sounds like also,
like you're going to be laying, like, you know, animals at his feet.
Right. <It's> gonna, there's going to be a pyre involved.
But it says, a pyre, exactly. It says, this will build trust, causing your opinion to carry more weight with the leader. So I'm like, you got it. You're doing it. That's the way it's supposed to go. So it's the most bizarre thing. I started thinking about how, you know, when we were in high school, they were always pumping us with that, like, be a leader, be a leader, be a leader. Uh-huh. And it's like, well, who's gonna be the sheep?
Right.
A leader needs sheep.
Right.
Otherwise, he or she cannot lead.
Right.
So if you have this culture telling everyone to be a leader, it's like, and then you just have a bunch of people standing around, you know, dictators of one.
You said it, Jaquetta.
Yes.
Great idea, Jaquetta.
That means that you want to be the leader. I don't trust you. That's how you know you're undermining my authority when I'm not around.
Good job.
People are listening to you and not listening to me. But, do you agree with that?
I certainly do. Yes. But, you know, as a follower, though, you know, especially in business, you're talking. Don't you find that when your leader is just inept?
Yes.
That it's just like, all right, I got to just take control because I can't stand it anymore. It's not even like I want to be the leader.
Yeah, this guy wants to be the leader, though.
Yeah, but I don't even want to be a leader, but I have to
I'd like to lead from behind. I'm one of those people. The secret leader. I'm like Kissinger style.
Yeah, right.
You know, just always around messing shit up for everybody.
You want to be the neck.
Yes.
Because the neck is the one that turns the head.
Exactly.
Right.
And when they chop off the head, there's still a little bit of neck left.
Yeah, that's right.
Put another head on. That's coming soon, those head transplants. That's could still be in the game as the neck.
That's right.
I don't consider myself a leader. Yeah, but when, like you're saying, when stuff is messed up, I'll be like, look, I'll take charge for the moment. Mm-hmm. But as soon as things are back to normal, I'm out.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like a military dictatorship. Like, I'll say as long as things aren't working, mm-hmm. I'll be in control. Mm-hmm. But when things calm down, I'm out. So bizarre. I'm not really a follower either. I'm just like, I don't know.
You're just like, you're dissident. Just doing whatever.
Yes.
You're just like, whatever.
Yeah, I'm like, whatever. You know, and then I quit.
Yeah.
So, all right, what do you have?
All right, I just, people have been asking us, where the hell?
Yes.
It says, hey, you
where
know
is the hey, you know it studio?
And it is here I keep wanting to say nestled in the bosom. I don't want to say that.
In the heart of New York City? That sounds like the 70s.
Yeah.
We're in Times Square.
We're at Funkadelic Studios.
Yeah. Which is awesome. We like this place. Yeah. We've been here for a while.
Yeah, 209 West 40th Street. And they do have, not only do they have the rehearsal space and recording rooms, a repair shop, rentals, all that kind of stuff. They have open
And they
gym.
Have awesome people at the front.
They do.
Very nice and very friendly.
Very nice and friendly. But they have an open jam on Saturday nights. And June 20th, they have a ladies feature jam.
Okay, cool.
So ladies, go on.
Get
check
your
it
jam
out.
On.
Get your jam on.
Excellent.
In the big room.
In the big room.
Yeah.
There's always cool stuff going on there.
Yeah.
All right. So I have, I promised you penis news.
Yeah. Oh, some more penis news.
I promised you some penis news. And this is some insect penis news. So it said here. There's a study going around, and the title of the study is Experimental Reduction of Intromittent Organ Length Reduces Male Reproductive Success in a Bug.
What?
AKA, if you chop a bug's dick off,
it'll grow
you
back.
Can't get it on as well as he could before. That's what the study found out.
Why is that?
Well, I mean, basically, all right, so the animal that they're using, it's a seed bug.
Mm-hmm.
And it has its intromittent organ, otherwise known as its hashtag penis, is 7 millimeters long, which doesn't sound like a lot, but the entire bug is only 11 millimeters
wow.
long. So the penis is 2/3 of the length of
Imagine
the body.
Imagine if that was like for a human man.
But that's what I was going to say. They said that this is an they're trying to figure out what the evolutionary reason for it. This dude's just lucky. Because they measured the female that he's going to be copulating with, and her, you know, vaginal area.
We don't talk about vaginas on
the
show.
We don't talk about vaginas that much, but her area is, like, not even that long. So there's, this guy's just got a whole lot of extra penis going on. So some scientists decided that he had a little too much action going on.
Uh-huh.
And they cut off 5% of it to see if it still worked. It does, not as well. They cut off 30% of it to see if it still works. It does, but not as well. And this was the experiment.
That is the cruelest thing I've ever heard
of. Why would you do that? I have no idea. After all, they're trying to figure out why it has a large penis. Just let it be. It's not your business. You know what I mean? Like,
but how would you like it, man scientist, if someone did that to you?
Yeah. I think they're just jealous.
I think so.
Although,
maybe
I don't want to find a way. We don't need men to have penises that are two-thirds the length of their body.
No.
Because there's just not enough room. As it is.
Who has the time to deal with that?
Yeah. You know? So it's just...
Oh, and you know that they're not going to take care with it. They're going to be dragging it around.
It's going to be all over the place.
Yeah.
They're going to be everywhere. We won't even be able to get in here. We'll be able to get in the elevator. So this was...
Sir, could you move your penis?
Yeah.
Please.
Oh, sorry about that.
Could you press the 8th floor, please? Dink.
We'd be ruling the earth if that were the case. Women would be all over the place. So this was published, this wonderful, piece of scientific discovery was published in something called Proceedings of the Royal Society B.
What?
That's the journal that it's in. Proceedings of the Royal Society B.
Oh, God.
So that's in there. So if you guys were wondering, if you chop off an animal's penis, you know, does it affect their virility? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. And we now know that because these guys have been, you know, working on these animals' penises for quite some time. So bizarre.
That is such a strange
thing. It's hashtag penis news, but it's also like water is wet. You know, it's like, you know, hey, you didn't know it.
Yeah.
You know, it's news of the oblivious. Like, really?
Yeah.
Bizarre.
I was thinking about our listener, Grace.
Okay.
Grace B. She periodically will email us links, and she's like, I was up all night. Or, like, I couldn't get to
Grace
sleep.
Grace B. hasn't slept since the 90s.
Yeah. And
we're happy about that.
Yeah.
Because she helps us out.
Yeah. But still, then I came across this article, and it was tips for better sleep.
Okay.
So we're going to go through it, but, you know, we're thinking of you, Grace.
Yeah. We know you're up late listening to this.
Yeah. Okay, so, and they give us,
I'd like to know, because I have trouble sleeping as well.
Yeah, everybody does from time to time. So, and actually somebody on Facebook was like, can you give me creative ways to fall asleep faster? And people, of course, are like, haha, doing, you know, kind of bits and things like that. But
when I was a little kid, I'll tell you this, I had such a hard time sleeping. I would hit my head against the mattress until I fell asleep.
Really?
My cousin used to do it also. It was the weirdest thing. I just couldn't sleep.
It was just probably that repetitive motion.
Yeah, just the bouncing. And then either that or I just knock myself the fuck out, you know?
what kind of mattress do you have?
Serious. That's what it was.
All right, so they came up with a bunch of tips here for the best sleep tips that they ever heard.
Okay.
One is set an alarm to go to bed, which is like...
I'm going to be hitting that like with a reverse snooze. That's what I'm going to be doing. Just like I do when I have to wake up. Okay.
Yeah, if you find yourself consistently wishing you had hit the hay earlier by staying on track. Yeah, get a calming bedtime routine going, by setting an alarm.
That would be good for me because my bedtime routine is panic.
Oh, no.
So, because I'm one of those people that starts to go through the next day, and then maybe the day after that, through there, like, all thinking about all the things that I have to do, which is not the way to get to sleep.
Yeah, you need to do that at a different point.
Yeah, when else am I going to do that?
Earlier.
I'm panicking about other things in the day.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
This is my schedule.
You need to schedule your panic time.
Yeah, I got to get it earlier.
Parcel it out. Then it says, resist the urge to snooze. So, don't hit that, snooze button in the morning because it disturbs that little bit of sleep that you're getting. It's going to disrupt your sleep cycle.
Okay.
It's going to make you even more tired. Don't hit the snooze.
Okay.
As soon as your alarm goes up, just get out of bed.
Yeah. Okay. Let me do that. I'm going to leap out of bed.
Yeah. Go easy on the alcohol before bed.
Huh?
No.
A nice glass of scotch sometimes is the only thing that's getting me to sleep.
All right, right.
It makes me sleepy.
Yeah. Because they say when your buzz wears off later in the night, you're more likely to wake up.
Okay, I don't get that buzzed.
I am sober. Yes. 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh, God, why am I awake?
Your eyes are open. Go. I am sober and very awake.
Yeah. Slip on some socks. This one I disagree
okay,
with.
Okay, I usually take them back off in bed.
Yeah, it's too hot.
Yeah, slip on some socks. Okay, so, what do they say about
speed
it?
On, some people have colder than comfortable extremities. By mm-hmm. having warm hands and feet, it helps you fall asleep. So slip on a pair of clean socks. And they have an underline, clean socks.
I mean, what kind of socks are you going to slip on? I was going to go to the hamper and get some old funky ones from the gym. Slip those on.
That are like a piece of cardboard.
Yeah, I'll slip those on. The stench will knock me right out. That's how that works.
They say keep your bedroom dark, even low from the alarm clock.
Like, really?
Keep the bed cool.
Okay.
Power down about and keep the bed cool. Keep the room cool.
Keep the bed cool. Keep it on ice. Yeah. Don't get up to anything hot in the bed.
Yeah. Power down an hour before bed. All your devices, smartphones, watches, laptops, all of that.
Mm-hmm. Power down my watch? Sure. I will do that. Yes.
About 60 minutes before bedtime.
That I've read, yeah, that you shouldn't be using screens before bed. But sometimes I do a little reading on my iPad, and that helps me to fall asleep.
Yeah, well, they're saying that light's going to get you. Oh,
I try to put it on dim, but, you know.
I don't. Cut caffeine by the afternoon.
Huh? What do you mean by after 12 o'clock?
Yeah, like, yeah.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Exercise regularly.
Well, we might do that.
Yeah. Just don't do it too close to bedtime.
Okay.
Do it early. Do everything early.
That's hard to do.
Get your exercise, your caffeine, your drinking, your worrying.
Yeah. Between the hours of 3 and 5.
Yeah. Paint your bedroom a tranquil color.
Okay.
Maybe it's a blue or warm yellow.
I mean, yeah, having a dark, comfortable room. Yeah, that makes sense. I don't know anyone's bedrooms that are like shocking pink.
Yeah, I know.
Stripes with teal.
Yeah. Reserve the bed for sleep and sex only.
Okay. What else happens in there?
Reading. Don't read in bed.
Oh, that's hard. I like to read in bed a little bit.
I do, too.
It's comfortable.
Keep your bedroom quiet. No worrying electronics or ticking watches again.
Again, with a watch, yeah.
Watches are back.
And they're a problem.
Yeah, and keep the dogs out of the bed. Keep all your animals out of the bed. Nobody needs them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, I don't, are they keeping people awake? Is that what they say, though?
Yeah, it's, yeah, because even when they move around and they purr or wag their tail, it's going to disrupt your sleep.
Well, you are sleeping light. If a purr is knocking you off your game,
purr.
Yeah, and you. But this is like we live in cities.
Yeah.
So I'm not even going to hear a purr. Like that purr has to be a roar before I'm going to understand that the cat's even enjoying himself a little bit.
Yeah. Try separate blankets on a shared bed. That's a nice one.
I've seen that in Europe, and I was like, they're just not getting it on. That was my thought.
Really?
You know what I mean? You see those little duvets?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, when I've been abroad, I'm like, what's going on here?
No, you're still in the same bed. You just have two blankets.
Oh, I've never done that before.
That's all.
Two normal-sized blankets.
Yeah, two normal-sized blankets.
Because these are like two cheap-ass, small Scandinavian-sized blankets.
No. So it's like you have your own blankets, but it's like they overlap. So you can both be under them, but when you turn over, you can still wrap yourself.
So when you make the bed, do you put one blanket on top of another, or how does that work? Do you know what I mean? When you're not using the bed,
You're worried about that
I'm concerned about interior design.
What I would do is make up the bed with one.
And then put the other at the foot?
At the foot.
Okay. So then it's got to coordinate in a way that works.
Yes.
Folded.
Yeah. Because that's a
concern.
Yoga, meditation, or prayer.
Ugh. Oh, God.
All right. Take deep breaths.
Okay.
Yeah, you breathe in. What is it? You breathe in for 4, hold for 7, and then exhale
like
for 8.
Gasping for air with your method. I have trouble with that because I cannot, quote unquote, quiet my mind. But a friend of mine, you know what I'm talking about. They said, quiet your mind. You quiet your mind. And why don't you quiet your mouth? I have a friend who is a life coach. And I think what she told me was if you can't, you know, really quiet your mind, you can do a breathing like, I'm breathing in, I'm breathing out. And just say that to yourself. That actually, I found, worked for me.
Yeah.
Oddly enough. Because the rest of that quiet your mind, mindfulness shit.
No. Or try the guided meditations where they're like, you're on a beach and now you're here.
Yeah, somebody's telling me something.
Yeah.
But this does violate the electronics piece.
Yes,
so
it does.
I have a noise machine that they have like at doctor's offices in my apartment. Mm-hmm. I put that on at night. That helps too. It makes like a white noise. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of neutral. I like that. So those are some pretty good tips. Some dubious, some good.
Write down what's bugging you.
Oh, I don't have enough time for that. I'm a writer. That's going to turn into, like, you know, my next failed screenplay.
Yes, I know. Start doing that. Right. Yeah, you'll be up until,
I'll be
like
up
four.
All night. I'll be like, you know what? I can't do this by hand. I need to move to my laptop.
Right. And then this is one that I have done, too. Like, get out of bed if you really can't sleep. If you're sitting in bed.
Yeah, get up.
And just, like, start walking around. Go into, like, and stand in another room and read out loud from a book.
Wow. Does that work?
Because you're standing, now you're getting tired and you want to sit.
You're tired of hearing yourself.
You're hearing yourself. You're like, yes. Nah. And then it'll tire you out.
And sleep looks like a better option then.
Yeah.
That's actually not a bad, I haven't thought about it before. I think the worst thing to do is when I can't sleep is to stay in bed because it makes the bed a place of stress.
Yeah.
It's that place now that you go and you sit there and you're like, eyes are wide open.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. I like that.
Yes, there's a bunch of things. quit smoking. Avoid drinking. Too many drinks close to bed.
I mean, once again, like, you know, do everything during the day.
Yeah.
Get drunk and smoke during the day, early.
And then
work out.
The last option is consider therapy.
Oh, wow. Cool. Yeah, I think it's really, really bad.
I think try 1 through 36 first.
Yeah, try those first.
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
So I'm bringing us back to hashtag penis news, as promised.
You have so many penises.
Yes, it's
so little time.
I told you it was a dick of a week. So guy gets booted off flight for flashing his Pinocchio penis tattoo. Not as bad as it seems. Not as bad as it seems.
I think that sounds wonderful.
Yes.
Lie to me.
22-year-old UK man found himself banned for life from some cheapy airline after flashing his Pinocchio tattoo on his penis to the cabin crew. Tom Washington and 22 of his friends dressed in drag and were about... Now, from what I understand, they are not drag queens, but they were getting into drag and they were having a good time with it. And they were about to hop on a flight during their holiday. Which, I like the idea of 23 guys just in full drag while boarding a Jet 2 plane. I've never heard of Jet 2.
No.
I assume that they're like Spirit Airlines where it's like a bus, basically.
Yeah, right.
Like you should know how to fly a plane before you get on. Washington proceeded to show off his ink to the other passengers and the cabin crew. Everybody was okay with it at first. There were 23 of us, and we met up at the airport. We got up early to do our makeup and hair, like any presentable woman. Mm. We were excited and sober at this point. We got on the plane with barrels of laughter from pretty much everyone. You know, the airport staff is into it, members of the public. We got our seats on the plane for the safety induction. I got up because my jacket was too tight, and it exposed my chest, which I had covered with a bra.
Okay.
I then proceeded to, quote-unquote, help the cabin staff with their talk using a sex toy. So I guess he was pointing out the exits.
Yeah.
There were some old men on the plane, and they were laughing. So a couple of lads mentioned that I had a tattoo of Pinocchio, which I showed them. So he has a tattoo of Pinocchio, and the nose of Pinocchio is the member.
All right.
It's actually kind of funny. I'll show it to you
in
a second.
It is kind of funny.
As soon as it happened, apparently he got booted off the plane.
Well.
His friends all chipped in, and they raised enough money to get him on a different airline. The CEO, Steve Heapy, said that the behavior was disgusting and not tolerated on his airline at that time.
Yeah, well, you know what? If I'm sitting on a plane, like, I can tolerate all the shenanigans and the fun stuff. But if a guy...
It's kind of funny.
It is funny. Yes. It is a funny tattoo. I mean, there's nothing...
I don't know if he should be kicked off the plane for it, though. I mean, obviously, everybody... First of all, it's in England, and they have a better sense of humor than we do.
And he's cute, too.
He's a young guy. He's cute. He didn't... It's not like he whipped it out.
Yeah.
All right, he didn't whip it out. Let's be clear about that.
Oh, he didn't whip it out.
He didn't whip it out.
He
just showed it.
The face.
Yeah, because people were talking about... how much you want to bet? I'll bet you £10 that somebody asked to see that on the flight.
Well, if he just showed the Pinocchio from the eyes up, that's not a problem.
He flashed his penis tattoo. This is it. There's no tattooing on the penis.
Oh.
At all. So he showed the top part of it.
Oh, I thought there was some tattoo ink on the penis.
Oh, no. The trick of it is that, you know, it's Pinocchio.
Yeah.
If he tells a lie.
Yeah.
Or say it's a pretty girl in this case. Yeah. Or guy, whatever his persuasion is. This comes out. The guy seemed like, I did some other research on it. He just seemed like a really nice guy. And I think they were just having too much fun.
They did have a lot of
fun.
They
were 23
guys in drag. I agree. He didn't show his penis. He showed his stomach.
He showed the penis tattoo.
Yeah.
So very interesting. But the fear of a penis. is what got him kicked off.
Right?
Hashtag penis news.
Great one. That was a great one.
Yeah,
that
thank
was
you.
Probably one of the...
Well, there was no actual penis. So...
it was a funny
you
story.
You know, it falls short, but... All right.
Okay. I have advice.
All right. Advice on Advice is a segment that we do, and probably our most frequent segment.
Yes.
Where we find advice on the internet that we think is unqualified.
And it stinks.
And then we want to improve upon it by giving our advice on advice. Yes. Hashtag advice on advice.
All right. This one is called, What to Do About a Flirting Boyfriend.
Okay. Leave him. I don't know. Too soon?
Too soon. It was a normal Saturday. My boyfriend was playing on my cell phone.
Okay.
So I grabbed his phone, and as I
did... What does that mean, to play on someone's phone?
I know. What are you doing?
I'm not aware of that phrasal verb. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, why do you play with your own phone?
Yeah, I don't know. Play on it?
Playing.
I don't know.
How does this work?
I don't use anyone else's phone. I've used Greg's phone a couple times when it was right next to me, and I was like, hey, can I use your phone to, like, check the weather?
Yeah. I don't use anyone's phone unless it's an emergency.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I grabbed his phone, and as I did, a flirty text appeared from another woman.
That's why you don't do it.
Yeah, I was in complete shock. I asked him who the woman was, and he said that she...
Was it the kind of shock where they do, like, a really big pullback in the movies?
Yes.
It's like... Yeah.
And the background is, like, magnified.
Yes. Depth of field.
I asked him who the woman was, and he said she was someone he dated back in college.
I ain't nobody, girl. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. On occasion, he said they did still speak, and on occasion, she likes to flirt.
Mm-hmm.
I told him...
On occasion, they hook it up. Yeah.
There's a Bojanski.
Yeah.
I told him I did not find that acceptable.
Is that what she said?
Yeah.
Well, I don't find that acceptable at all. Good day.
I asked if he flirted back, and he admitted he did.
Wow.
I asked if he ever did anything sexual with her behind my back. He swore he never did in the 2 years we've been together.
However, to the side.
What? Like, you were looking over there.
Yeah. Maybe if you paid attention, you need to be more observant.
Mm. To make a long story short, there was a huge confrontation. I threatened to leave him and move back home with my parents.
Wow.
Oh,
really?
Let's punish yourself.
Yeah, right, girl? You better have somewhere else to go.
Yeah. You don't, parents, you don't need to do that.
Yeah.
He begged me not to go. He was apologetic and he even cried. In front of me,
he broke out crocodile tears. That's something. That's hard to do.
It's hard.
I don't want to make a... you know, generalization, but, and I'd like to find out if any men want to write in, is it easy for guys to cry? Because I know a lot of women, we could put it on like that.
Right.
No problem.
Right.
But we have a lot of practice.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We're emotionally available.
Yeah.
So just think of something sad and cry.
Yeah. Like if I'm about to get, you know, a ticket, for example, it makes me very upset.
Yeah. In front of me, he told her not to contact him again and she agreed.
So, wow.
Wow. I forgave him, but now I'm having a hard time trusting him. Whenever I see him texting, I wonder who it's with. I have an urge to check his phone whenever he steps away.
Wow.
In October, we moved in together. I agreed to stay because I love him, but there are days I want to jump in my car, drive away, and never look back.
That's a relationship.
Yeah. My emotions are like the weather.
Oh, I'm like a bird. Fly away. Yeah.
I could talk to my family about it, but they like my boyfriend. And if I tell them what happened, they will not trust him again.
She's like the
wind. Or,
mm-hmm.
or they're going to like him and be like, just take it. That's what the man does.
Deal with it. I mean, it was one thing, right?
I know he made a mistake. I know in my heart he was very sorry. I don't want to be angry and resentful anymore. I want to trust him again, but I can't. Amber.
Wow. I mean, I think it's a pretty small infraction. It seems like this happened before they got very serious. Is that right?
Yeah.
And it's just a little bit of texting.
Yeah, and it sounds like they're young, too.
Yeah.
And so it's like kind of...
Well, I mean, they're definitely... When I was younger, there are definitely people in my life with whom I might have sent inappropriate messages.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't mean that there was anything going on, necessarily.
Right, right, right.
So...
I think it's the kind of thing where they're inexperienced, they're young, and they have to realize what boundaries are.
And they figured it out,
and
right?
communication too.
Yeah, but I think she's taking it a bit far. That's not really a harbinger of, you know, of like negative things to come in their relationship. Yeah. I don't think.
Yeah,
this is hard for us to give advice on it though, because I wasn't. This whole texting thing was not prominent in the time when I was dating.
Right.
So...
And when we were...
when I was... Yeah, in the 20s. When I was in the 20s.
And when we were like 10, 11.
Yeah. Yes, when we were 10. when cell phones came out. But yeah, texting has never really been my thing with dudes. Yeah. Anyway, even when before I met Greg, when I was dating, I'm like, man, don't be texting me.
Yeah.
Like, we made an appointment to meet, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Like, yeah. We don't need you going in. Also, too, back then you had to push the button three times to get to the letter.
Yeah.
So that also cut down on texting.
Well, then, yeah, right.
You know?
Right.
So the advice.
The advice is, Amber, when one of Shakespeare's villains says, oft my jealousy shapes faults that are not. Is he describing you?
I feel like this person might be punching above Amber's weight.
Yeah.
Like on this one.
But also, she'd say one of Shakespeare's villains. Aren't you like, isn't he talking about you? So kabam.
Is she the villain?
Yeah.
Okay.
We ask because the evidence against your boyfriend is weak.
Okay.
One flirty text is bantering, not betrayal. In the absence of established ground rules between the two of you, this doesn't constitute violation. Or is this where you're coming from? Holding this over his head makes you feel superior.
Really? I didn't get that at all from... this girl just seems like she's freaked out and insecure.
Yeah. Henceforth, you carry him around like a dog.
Henceforth.
Yeah.
You carry him around. Like...
Forsooth.
Yes, forsooth. Fie. Fie on it.
Yeah. Henceforth, you carry him around like a dog with a bone in its mouth. People are not bones.
Thank you. Thank you for clearing that one up. That's really what the question was about.
Yeah.
Are people bones? You know?
I have a hard time trying to decide if my boyfriend is a boyfriend or a bone.
Yeah. Help. Please help.
Amber. People are not bones.
To bone or not to bone.
We would not subject him to your suspicious gaze for the rest of his life.
Ooh. Wow.
Unless you can accept his explanation this time.
This is the woman that he was texting with.
I know. It was Tamara and Wayne.
Tamara and Wayne.
Yeah. So Tamara's like, ooh, hiding it from Wayne now.
Yes.
But man, listen to how they just totally beat this girl up for this, saying that she was a villain.
Yes. Oh, and a real, like, Shakespeare's villains are like the biggest villains.
Yeah. Saying your evidence is weak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a flirty text. It's bantering, not betrayal. There's no ground rules anyway between the two of
you. Do whatever you want.
And are you trying to be superior?
Wow.
And you're dragging him around like a dog with a bone. And people
are
bones.
Like a bone.
Oh, yeah.
You are the dog, and he's the bone.
Right.
And you're dragging him around.
Right. And people aren't bones, Amber.
Yeah. Don't you know that,
they
Amber?
Just totally kabam.
Wow.
Beat her,
this
like,
is a
senseless.
KO on this one.
They were just really mean to her,
I don't
think.
Like, this is, this is not very, I think, not only were they mean, but I don't think they addressed her issues.
Yeah.
It seems like she's insecure.
Yeah. And they're young. And it's
They're young. And they're moving in together. Maybe they're contemplating, is this relationship going to go further? And maybe this is their, you know, really big deal for her. So she wants to be sure.
Right. So, or maybe they're trying to say, hey, we're going to really give her a hard time. Like, she's giving him a hard time. And how does she like it? So if that's them teaching her a lesson.
If they're giving it back.
Guess what? We've got a lesson to teach Tamara and Wayne.
Exactly. And that is, watch yourself. Brace yourself. You know, be looking around at all times.
Yeah.
Because we got some advice for you.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Amber and Wayne. I got a little advice over here myself. I thought this was interesting. It's Ask Amy from the Washington Post.
Oh.
Dear Amy, my in-laws are loving, generous people.
No. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Several times a year, we travel several hours to visit. That's not far.
No.
Okay. And let them dote on their grandson.
Dote away.
Your benevolence will be known throughout the ages for allowing grandparents to see their grandchild.
Yeah.
The problem is their neighbor. Whenever we visit, the neighbor comes over, even during holiday gatherings.
Oh, yeah, right. Get this.
This is only a problem for us because both my wife and I find this man deplorable. He drinks, curses, and complains, and is generally unpleasant. He probably has a bad smell as well.
Mm-hmm.
The last straw was witnessing the neighbor being verbally abusive to his children.
Ew.
My wife's... And that's a difficult one because you don't know the whole scene.
Yeah.
Right? My wife spoke to her father, explained the reason, and asked that our visits be family only. I'm assuming this man is probably the same age as the parents.
Yeah,
and that the son is like 35.
Right.
Things were better for a while, but then the neighbor started showing up again, and the in-laws openly welcomed him. So he's like their buddy.
Yeah.
It's clear that my in-laws like this neighbor. My wife and I realize we cannot dictate who was allowed in their house. True that.
Yeah.
And we don't want to stop visiting, but I've started feeling resentful. What should we do? Sign, concerned.
I'm just concerned. That's like...
It's so, okay, so they go over there a couple of times a year, yeah. And this old codger comes over.
You know, it's probably, you know what, the grandparents realize they don't like the codger, and they're just doing it on purpose to maybe drive them away, or maybe they don't even want to see them.
They're probably, they're on the way over, they're calling across the yard, hey, Paul, get drunk, get over here.
Yeah, they're back.
They're back. You know what, if you have the occasion to yell at your son that piece of shit, do so when they're there, and then come on over. So dear concerned... And they didn't mention that how the grandson feels. Maybe the grandson likes this old guy. Maybe the you know what I mean? Like, yeah. We don't know about that. Because they didn't say anything negative about that. Mm-hmm. Dear concerned, given that you have already made your preference known, you'll have to try harder to tolerate that person while you're a guest in the in-laws' homes. It's akin to dealing with an awful family member.
Yeah.
You tolerate behavior or you attach consequences and follow through. Eventually, you may have to say to your in-laws, we realize we cannot control who spends time in your home, but we really don't want our child being exposed to this type of behavior, so we're going to exit when he comes around. You're not telling them what to do. You're simply being very clear about your own intentions. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I hope you encourage your in-laws to visit your home.
Oh, ha-ha. Mm-hmm.
So like a little threat at the end.
Yeah, but what if they can't travel well?
Oh, what if they don't want to come to your home?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. This is a weird one because it's they're there 3 times a year. Is this guy that bad? Like, is this,
but also,
you
know what? Sometimes when you just want to visit your family, you don't need to see their stupid friends. Right? But you know what I mean? Like,
for the grandson. They made it very clear. We travel several hours, and they seem very put off by that, to visit and let them... dote on their grandsons. I'm trying to read between the lines here. I feel like there's not a lot of communication going on otherwise.
Yeah.
And you might be right. Maybe this Paul guy is running interference.
Yeah. Like, hey, he could be the buffer.
Yeah.
But it could be just that annoying thing where it's like, well, we're come here to like connect with you. And then we've got to deal with that.
You want to see us? You got to see Paul. Paul's with us now. I have a feeling maybe the guy doesn't have a grandkid.
Yeah.
Or maybe he doesn't have visitors and he's like, oh, sweet.
Yeah, or they think it's fun.
He may not even know that they don't like him. He may be like, oh, awesome, that kid's over there.
Yeah,
and
this
then,
is the time.
You know, that couple is there that's really nice to me. They're always cool.
Yeah, but they're sober.
They're sober, but that's on them. They're driving.
Yeah.
I offered to give them drinks.
Yeah, what can they do?
Also, I'm wondering, too, like, okay, so he drinks and curses, as do I.
And I
complains.
Do. Yeah.
And it's generally unpleasant.
Could be anything.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
It's not like this guy's running around with his trousers down, right. You know, talking about Mexicans and black people.
He's probably just being like a normal person.
Yeah, like an old guy.
Or just talking, you know, being honest with whatever it is his opinion is.
So my advice on this advice, I like this advice, but I think they need to be like, you know what, you're probably just going to have to deal with this guy.
Yeah.
He's not going away. And there's also a little bit of respect your elders in here as well.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, this is an older gentleman and he's your parents' neighbors, your in-laws' neighbors. Like, you kind of got to roll with it, I feel like. I don't know. So that's my advice on advice.
That's very nice.
All right, what do you have?
What do I have here? I've got...
You said a lot of stuff.
I have a lot of things to talk about.
To get off my chest. I filled this episode up with dicks, so, you know.
No, that's fine. And filling things up with dicks is fine.
Yes, it's fine.
It's fine. Who's against that?
Who's against that, yeah.
Right. I saw this. A New York co-op offers to sell all its units for $65 million.
Wow.
So, basically, in New York...
And are the people all going to split it who live in the building?
Right. There's 10 units.
That's amazing.
Right? And so, a lot of these buildings in New York were actually homes. They were giant homes.
They were cut up.
That were cut up and made into different apartments. So this one Upper East Side co-op was divided into 10 apartments.
Mm-hmm.
One is owned by one man. One is owned by another man. The other 8 are owned by... Wait, I want to get her name right. Mary Joan Wilder.
Okay. Mary Joan Wilder.
Yes. She owns 8 of the units on this Park Ave apartment.
That's so she has gone to the other 2 people, be like, look, we can make us, you guys could be walking out of here. I'll give you more than 6.5.
Right. She said to them, well, anyway, she this building was built in 1912. Mm-hmm. It's a Jacobean-styled mansion.
Oh, my God. How many stories is it?
It has 10 apartments. I don't know how many stories. Okay. But
wow.
The mansion has the original details, such as molding stained glass windows and fireplaces. It's 60 feet wide and measures 19,000 square feet.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah. And so Mrs. Wilder inherited her apartments from her late brother.
Wow.
I get, like, an iTunes card for my brother, maybe.
I don't even have a brother that I know about. But I've never gotten anything from. That's crazy.
And she said she's hoping someone will turn it back into a single-family home.
What does she care?
I think it's always something that my brother thought about. Mm-hmm. That's what she said. If you lived here, you couldn't help it.
She has no idea about what it's like to live in New York at all. Are you... Lady.
And it has a big outdoor seating area, too.
Wow.
Private outdoor.
$65 million.
But she's in this... She's 8 apartments, and she's like, wouldn't it be nice if it was just one giant place?
Yeah. Really, I don't want to live here, but I don't want those other two people living here either. This should really go for a nice family, like a nice... You got two kids.
Yeah, they all agreed. Know. They said if we came to an agreement to sell together, it would probably lead to a better outcome. So if you just...
I would so do that in a heartbeat. I would say in my building, mm-hmm. there are about maybe 50 units. I don't know if I could ever get any kind of consensus.
Yeah, right.
But to sell the whole building, yeah, you'd make it like a bandit.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I like her style. It's so New York.
Oh, Mary Joan Wilder. Good luck to you.
Yes, good luck to you. We doff our hat to you.
But your design style is terrible.
Yeah, you got
it
some
It looks
issues.
Like... Oof.
It's bad.
It's like... Lauren.
Is she living in 8 apartments? Are there, like, cats in there as well? That's
each
not
cat,
fair.
Each cat has its own apartment.
This is Mitzi's floor.
This is Lady Merriweather's.
Yeah. We sleep separately because her purring keeps me up all night.
God.
I love it.
And the antics.
Yeah. The antics.
The antics of Custard. Boy, it's its own space.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
I listen to, I have the guided meditation, and I listen to that before I go to bed, but and I kind of doze off while it's happening, which is
Oh, that's fun. Awesome.
But it's the same one I listen to over and over, where the guy kind of, like, messes up a word or two.
Oh, no.
And so every time he gets to the one part where he's like, and that's the way it's supposed to be.
Oh, no. It needs to be remixed.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, this old chestnut?
I'm like, it's supposed.
But it... The comedian in you won't let it go.
Yeah.